In the lesson from the book of Ephesians, which was read to you, two times there is the word remember. You remember the way you used to be. Most of us, I think, were Gentiles, and there are probably times in the past when we were without hope and without God. But then we came to Jesus Christ, and beautiful things happened with that. One of the beautiful things is that there was peace. The Ephesians could worship Jews and Gentiles. Most of them must have been Gentiles. But they could worship together the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. So the blessing that was given to Abraham and the promise that Abraham would be a blessing did not happen during the years of Israel's history before the coming of the Messiah. But then in Jesus, it took place. You know that all the first Christians were Jewish. And then it took sort of slamming of the head of Peter to go and witness to a group of Gentiles, saying to him, you know, it's not just for you. It's for Gentiles as well. And Gentiles are those people throughout the world who are not Jewish. And then in Jesus Christ, the division is done away with. Now, everybody, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever you are, you can come to Jesus Christ and come to the Father and worship together. Now, of course, it doesn't happen all the time, no. But I want to tell you about a neighbor of mine who grew up Jewish, and her two brothers with her grew up Jewish. One of the brothers read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, and he became a Christian. And the other also became a Christian. And I have to tell you that one of them lives in North Dakota and loves a college out there close by in northwestern Iowa called Northwestern College, which is one of our Reformed Church colleges. He said it is one of the best. He is a Christian and worships with Christians who are Jewish and who are Christian, Gentiles. This is the peace that Jesus came to bring. Peace between Gentiles and Jews. Unfortunately, not all partake of that. Not all Jewish people, maybe the majority, and not all Gentiles, the majority, do not partake of that. But still, this is an amazing thing which Jesus has done. By shedding his blood on the cross, giving his life, that everyone who is willing can come and be a part of the family of God, the people of God, Jew, Gentile, no matter, can come and find peace in Jesus, our Savior and Lord. It is a peace that means that now we are part of the household of God. You are a part of the household of God. You are growing as a holy temple in the Lord. You are a dwelling place for God. You are built together as a dwelling place for God, along with all the other Christians in the world. What does that mean for Second Reformed Church? We are growing together as the holy temple. We're not there yet. I can testify to you that I'm not there yet, but as a group, we're not there yet, but we're growing. We're growing into a spiritual house, a spiritual dwelling place for God. Now, I hear through the grapevine that there are people in the church who are more conservative and people in the church who are more progressive. And there's a struggle there, especially in the consideration of the, I hate to say hiring, but it's that hiring of a new permanent minister. By the way, I'm not the minister who usually fills this pulpit. He's running in New York City in a marathon. And so we'll pray for him there and his wife, Una. But there may be a division. One group thinks conservatively, the other group thinks progressively. But remember that Jesus died to give peace. Peace between Gentiles and Jews. And if he could do that, surely he can bring peace to the conservative members of the church and the more progressive. And under the influence of the Holy Spirit, there will be a God-given decision as to who the next minister would be. And I love this verse 18, which speaks about in him, in Christ, all have access to the Father by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We together, as a church, worship God in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, through the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis said, we have been given a three and in one life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ought to keep clinging to that Spirit every day. And he said the hardest part of the Christian life is when you first get up in the morning. And all those thoughts, worries, anxieties, resentments come rushing at you like wild animals. And the very first thing you have to do is pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you with that three-in-one life and let that higher, quieter, stronger life come flowing in and keep on flowing in throughout the day. And if you wake up in the middle of the night and start having all these thoughts come rushing at you, in the name of Jesus, pray for the Holy Spirit. Go to the Father and have sweet communion. And you will have peace in Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you and praise you enough that you have given your only Son to die for us, to shed his blood, that we might be forgiven and have everlasting life. This great hope, thank you in Jesus' name.